there are a number of issues that we've been kind of following on a regular basis, just to kind of bring you up to date on not only what is happening, but also how it's affecting some of our on-the-ground gospel partners who really are feeling the effects of these situations. Today, we're going to be speaking with Greg Kelly from World Mission, and we're looking at two different areas. One is Nepal, the ministry in Nepal and the blockade in effect. We kind of wanted to get a picture of what is happening on the ground between their partners, and also with the situation with the refugee crisis and what we've been hearing happening in camps, that there are the good news stories to be shared, and reasons why the refugee crisis isn't always a terrible, terrible story. Greg, thanks so much for being with us today on Mission Network News.
Thanks, Ruth. It's great to be with you.
Well, let's talk, first of all, the situation in Nepal. We've kind of covered the blockade between India and Nepal on and off for the last couple of weeks, especially since it went into effect. Essentially, the thumbnail sketch here is Nepal adopted a secular constitution, and India wants to really kind of return to a greater India, which would include like Bhutan and Nepal back under the Hindu influence of greater India. So India is kind of withholding its assistance to Nepal by blockading the goods at the border. This has been a situation we've been hearing from a couple of other partners. The bite of that blockade has been severe. What are you hearing on the ground?
Well, it's a great point there, Ruth, with this blockade, and especially the biggest resource that is crippling the ministry outlets is the gasoline. So it makes it very difficult from get to point A to point B. But beyond that, it's just the timing of it, really, because as our listeners know, we're just months removed from one of the most devastating earthquakes, natural disasters in the history of the country. And so these things are kind of piling on top of one another, where you have the blockade, you have the unsettling of the political situation and the instability of that. And then on top of that, the earthquake all hitting at the same time. But the gospel's going forward despite all of those things. We're getting reports of people coming to Christ in this largely Hindu nation in large numbers. We're distributing our solar-powered audio Bibles called The Treasure in the Nepali language. And just this past week, we got an amazing report of a listening group of people gathering around and listening to the Word of God, that 72 people gave their lives to Christ in this one village. And so we are ecstatic about that. And it just is a reminder to us that despite of circumstances or challenges, the Word of God goes forth and it will not return void.
What is amazing to me is the dedication of your partners who are on the ground. So even if they are in the remotest areas and they aren't directly feeling the blockades, they are going to do what needs to be done to get these Bibles into people's hands, whether that means they walk them in or bicycle them in or somehow managed on human power, just, you know, physically moving things to get this to people. Why is it that they're so dedicated?
Well, you know, Ruth, the people who have come out of Hinduism, and almost every single Christian, either themselves were a Hindu or they are a first-generation Christian, because even today, 9 out of 10 people in the country of Nepal have never heard the gospel for the first time. And so when you've lived in that utter bondage for generations and you get exposed to the truth and the light that the gospel is all about, there's something inside of you that ignites, and there's a passion that comes out of that where you are determined to share that good news with anybody and everybody that will listen. And so you're right, either whether it's by foot, by bike, by donkey, by whatever means, the fact that they don't have gasoline, that's not going to discourage them or detract them. That might delay it a little bit, but it certainly is not going to change the agenda, which is to get the gospel to every person in the country of Nepal.
How can we be praying for them?
Well, we can pray for the families of these people. They're unbelievably dedicated and determined. And so not having the resources, what it does is it takes them away from their families for more extended period of time. And these are human beings just like us, and they have real needs and they have real emotional issues. And so we need to pray for the leaders of the church in Nepal, that they would be strengthened by the Spirit of God, that they would be encouraged and not grow discouraged, because there's plenty of things that can get you down in a country like that. And we just need to come alongside of them and stand with them. And of course, that world mission, the manifestation of that is getting the Word of God through the treasure into their hands. And every day, literally, we get feedback. We need more treasures. We need more treasures so that they can get them into the hands of the oral learners who have not heard the gospel.
Let's kind of shift focuses. You know, one of the things that we had been discussing on and off, too, is the impact of the Syrian refugee crisis. And it's more than just Syria, although the region has been deeply affected by displacement. So we're talking refugees from Iraq and Syria throughout the Middle East. Anywhere you've had a combination of civil war and terror activity where people are just fleeing by the hundreds of thousands. We've been hearing stories, too, that, say, groups like the Islamic State are sending in assassins into the refugee camps. So even those don't feel terribly safe. And yet you're finding a different and unique receptivity to the message of the gospel. What are you hearing?
Well, we're hearing that the situation in these refugee camps is incredibly complex and challenging. People are literally fleeing for their life and grabbing their children and taking the clothes on their back and leaving every possession they have on earth in the past. And so they're coming in, they're already very discouraged, and then this radical influence of ISIS is, you know, approaching Christians, and, you know, essentially the message is convert to Islam or face execution. That's the Christians. And so they're coming into a very difficult situation where they've lost everything. But at the same time, it really creates a unique opportunity for the gospel. Our strategy as an organization is to come alongside of them and love them and show them without restrictions, without expectations, without conditions, love in the form of medical and food and things of that nature. And as we're doing the medical and ministering to them and providing food, we're able to deliver the gospel in the form of our solar-powered audio Bible, which is called The Treasure in the Sorani and the Arabic language. And they're receiving that. Their hearts are open. And we're hearing of such an enthusiasm for the Word of God right in the refugee camps in the middle of Iraq.
Now, you guys are also working with partners in Lebanon. Is that true?
Correct. Yes, we're working with part of our strategy as an organization is to deliver and distribute treasures through Christian leaders, whether it's in Iraq or Lebanon, because we really feel at the end of the day, the ultimate objective for every Christian organization needs to be the creation of new churches, because that's where the discipleship making is going to take place. And, you know, Jesus, you know, didn't tell us in the Great Commission to go and just feed people who are hungry or heal the sick or make converts. He told us to go and make disciples. And the discipleship-making entity that the body of Christ has is the church. And so we need to be about seeing churches established and strengthened. And so it's through those churches that we want to see the treasures being distributed.
In some areas, the refugee camps are places where people come in, they register, they are assigned a tent, a spot to just go and be there until they can move somewhere else or have other plans. In places like Lebanon, the refugees are coming in at a distinct disadvantage because they're already like 25 to 30% of the population of the country. Lebanon also is not really providing those services for the refugees. So when they come in, they're having to rent their space in the refugee camps or rent their space in a garage or find a way to live and find a way to pay for whatever needs that they have. And that has become an extreme difficulty for the refugees living in Lebanon. How are you meeting those physical needs and those spiritual needs? I mean, that's got to take some resources.
Yeah, it absolutely does. We have partnerships in place where even right now, there's food, there's clothing, there's the basic necessities of survival are being delivered through our partners at our local churches on the ground. And, you know, it's kind of like the starfish analogy. You know, you come in and you can absolutely be overwhelmed by the literally thousands of refugees that are pouring in on a daily basis and just get overwhelmed to the point where you're paralyzed. Or you can pick up that one starfish and say, you know, it makes a difference with this one as you save it and rescue it. And I think that's really the approach the body of Christ needs to take and say, hey, where's God calling us? How can we make a difference? Because the Lord will use that. And if we collectively ask ourselves that question, instead of getting caught up in the insurmountable, almost overwhelming need of it all, we will make a difference. And the gospel will go forward in these places where refugees are pouring in by the thousands, and the name of Jesus will be proclaimed in these previously unreached areas where missions has been very difficult.
Let's explore that concept just a little bit more. I mean, this is kind of a diaspora effect, essentially, what you're seeing with all the refugees coming out. These are areas, these are people from areas, I should say, that have been openly hostile to the gospel, and yet they're willing to hear what you have to say because you're meeting a physical need. How does that work?
Well, what people have come out of in many instances is they were in a previously, maybe it wasn't so much hostile to the gospel. There just was no gospel at all. So the hostility would have to require the presence of the gospel. And when the presence isn't there, you don't experience that. Well, ISIS and other radical aspects of Islam have really created that hostility. And so now people have a comparison. When they come in the presence of a God who loves them and cares for them and who literally gave his life for them, now there is a choice, and you know, any rational individual is created with a longing that only God can fill, the true living God, Jesus Christ. And so when they come into contact with that information, they are running to the cross. They're coming to Christ, and the church has to recognize that and say, now is a tremendous opportunity that this refugee crisis is creating. We have to position ourselves as we're loving them physically, but we have to explain the motivation behind it. We can't just leave them with a candy bar. We can't just leave them with a new blanket or, the food. We need to explain what Jesus did and how Jesus paid the ultimate price for their lives. And they are responding. It's a great opportunity for the body of Christ.
So what happens after that? There are hundreds of thousands of refugees. You're probably looking at tens of thousands of people who are listening to this message they've never heard before and responding to it. What's the next step? How are they mentored in their new faith?
Well, that's exactly right. We need to create the infrastructures where leaders are being raised up with the idea of, as these people, just like in the U.S., when someone comes to Christ, we hopefully are trying to get them into a discipleship process where they're learning about Jesus and growing in that. And we need to raise up leaders strategic in these areas where that discipleship making process can take place, even inside of these refugee camps. I mean, just because you're inside of a refugee camp doesn't mean that churches can't exist inside of there. So the churches can spring up in all of these places where these people are at, but we have to be incredibly intentional about raising up people and nationals to mentor them, disciple them, so that ultimately these refugees will have the burden to go back to the very same areas where they came from. And even go back to the instigators that caused all this craziness in the first place and share the gospel with them.
Again, we've been speaking with Greg Kelly from World Mission, just talking a little bit about a couple of different situations that on the face of them look very difficult, and yet they're providing an opportunity that is unlike anything that we could have asked or imagined. If you want to know more about how you can come alongside what's happening there, check it out through their website. It's worldmission.cc. That's worldmission.cc. Greg, thanks so much for being with us today on Mission Network News.
Thank you, Ruth.